Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, July 2nd, 2023, Romans.
Is it for me? Was it the millionaire? Well, you are no or counting your blessing. Nobody suffered from frostbite. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 6, the great chapter on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 6, let's start at verse 1. Therefore, what are we to say, or what are we to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Verse 2, Meganoita, emphatically not. We who have died to the sin nature, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit and retroactive positional truth, how can we live in it or by the power of the sin nature any longer? And then the Apostle Paul, verse 3, or are you ignorant? Don't you know? And I'm afraid that a lot of communicators of the Word of God have this in their mind all the time. Don't you know? Are you ignorant? Well, they were. They were ignorant of one of the most important doctrines for the church age, the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Totally unique to this dispensation, not any other time in human history, no other dispensation, just the church age, from Pentecost to the rapture. Every person who places their faith in Christ have the only baptism. You know, how many baptisms are there? Well, I know we studied baptism last time. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You know where that's at? Okay, turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that's not water baptism. One baptism is the baptism of the Spirit. At the moment of your faith in Jesus Christ, you are baptized by God the Holy Spirit. You are identified with Christ in His death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and then identified with Christ in His resurrection, current positional truth. Positionally, we are all in union with Jesus Christ. Positional truth, in union with Him. We are not family of God like all the believers in other dispensations. We are royal family of God. We are in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. This has never occurred any other time in human history. And this sets up the basis for walking in newness of life. And what does that mean? To live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Again, only live by the Lord Jesus Christ in His incarnation, His true humanity, and passed on to the royal family of God in the church age. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is absolutely critical to understand. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, the baptism of the Spirit. You place your faith in Christ, you have been baptized. At the moment of faith in Christ, you're baptized. That's the only baptism you must have to live with God forever. And that comes through salvation, faith in Christ. Now, water baptism, it was used as a training aid. Until Romans 6 was written, until 1 Corinthians 12 was written, both of these by the Apostle Paul, then water baptism was a training aid to teach the baptism of the Spirit. And it was a training aid to show that when you were down under the water, identification with Christ in His death and burial, and then come up out of the water, identify with Christ in His resurrection, current positional truth. So it was a training aid. But once the canon of Scripture was completed, once Romans 6 was completed, once 1 Corinthians 12 was completed, there's nothing wrong with having water baptism. And like I said, we had a great pastor in Pullman, Washington, Ron Breckel, and he did have water baptism, but he had classes for a week to teach exactly what this was. That nobody was going to be, you didn't have to have water baptism for salvation. Has nothing to do with salvation. What it does, it illustrates the principle of the baptism of the Spirit. And he taught that clearly. Everybody knew right up front, I'm not being saved because I have water baptism. They knew that at all. They're saved because of faith in Christ. And the moment of faith in Christ, you are baptized by the Spirit, identified with Christ, death, burial, resurrection, and now you're in union with the King of all kings, Lord of all lords. That's the only baptism that you have to have, and that comes only one way, faith in Jesus Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So we last time saw or studied the different real baptisms, four real baptisms, three ritual baptisms last time. Or are you ignorant? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, the baptism of the Spirit, have been baptized into His death? That's retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in His death, burial. Now, we just started, to look at the doctrine of retroactive positional truth, but before I get there, a few things. At salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, positionally, the power of the sin nature has been broken through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth. Positionally, the old sin nature is dead. Now, you still have it. It still resides in your body, but you're no longer a slave to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. Now, you are have a new marriage, the Lord Jesus Christ, a new authority, the Lord Jesus Christ. So positionally, the sin nature is dead. The old sin nature still resides in the body after salvation, but its rulership over human life has been broken by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, retroactive positional truth. The old sin nature is not eradicated. You still have it. It won't be eradicated until either physical death or the rapture, whichever occurs first. As long as you live, you will have the sin nature residing in your body with its lust patterns. And it will keep on trying to get back into the authority of your life. While the sin nature still resides in our body, it has been robbed of its power to rule over our lives. A new power, the power of God the Holy Spirit, has replaced the power of the sin nature so that now we have an option. We can choose to put the sin nature back in charge of our lives, or we can live our lives by the power of the Spirit of God, the filling of the Holy Spirit. So after salvation, you now have two power sources living in your body. The sin nature and the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. And they are at war. There's a war going on inside of you. And that's Galatians 5. And we saw that last time, but it's an important passage. Let's look at it again. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Very important passage. Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17. Galatians 5, 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit. That is, live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. And you will not gratify the lusts of the sin nature. So the sin nature has lust patterns. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war. They're at war with each other so that you do not do what you want. So here you have an old sin nature living in your body and all the cell structure of your body. You have the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit to counteract that. And now, your volition decides who is going to rule your life. The old sin nature is constantly sending up temptations to the guardian of your soul, your volition, and you have a guardian. All you have to say is no. And God the Holy Spirit continues to empower your life so that you can live the unique spiritual life of the church age. However, when you decide from your volition to say yes to the temptation, then you turn your life over to the power of the sin nature. Now, you are no longer filled with the Spirit, empowered by God the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Now you are no longer walking by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. Now you are grieving the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. And you are quenching the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. So once again, verse 3 says, or are you ignorant? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, the baptism of the Spirit, have been baptized into His death, retroactive positional truth. And at this point, we were just got started in the doctrine of retroactive positional truth. Point one was definition and description, and we got the first three subpoints under definition and description. Point one, retroactive positional truth, is identification with Christ in His two death and burial through the mechanics of the baptism of the Spirit. And then point two, identification with Christ in His death includes both His spiritual death and His physical death. His spiritual death, the salvation work of Christ on the cross. His spiritual death, well, that is from 12 noon to 3 p.m. At that time, should have been the brightest time of the day, God the Father brought a supernatural darkness over the land. Because now he was gathering up the sins of the whole world, imputing them to Jesus Christ, and judging them in Jesus Christ. Spiritual death of Christ on the cross, salvation work. Those 3 hours, darkness and judgment. And then after those 3 hours, the darkness left. But Jesus Christ was still physically alive. Physically alive. That was his spiritual death. That was salvation accomplished. That was the salvation work of Christ on the cross. So there were two deaths. His spiritual death, and we're identified with that, and physical death. After that was his salvation work was completed, then Jesus Christ gave the greatest victory cry we will ever hear. Not that I won the Stanley Cup. But, Tetelestai, it is finished. What was finished? All the work for salvation was finished by Christ on the cross, so that now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life and God's imputed righteousness. After he had finished and said, Tetelestai, it is finished, then, nobody took his life from him. He dismissed his spirit into the hands of God the Father. And he died physically. So there were two deaths. His spiritual death, salvation work on the cross. His physical death after that salvation work was completed. So, subpoint two, the identification of Christ in his death includes both his spiritual death and physical death. Subpoint three, the spiritual death of Christ on the cross is related to the judicial imputation of all personal sins of mankind to Christ on the cross and the judgment of those sins by God the Father. This is the basis for eternal salvation. This is the basis for efficacious substitutionary atonement, and the atonement is unlimited atonement. Unlimited atonement, 1 John 2, verse 2, and he himself, Jesus Christ the righteous, that's 1 John 2, verse 1, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only. He didn't just die for the sins of those who would believe in him, but also for the sins of the whole world. The sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. That means everyone is savable. Anyone, any place, anywhere is savable, has the potential for salvation. Unlimited atonement. And that's why God says, 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When Christ was on the cross, the Father poured out the sins of the whole world. Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Some will. Some will believe in Jesus Christ, some will not. But as far as the Father's thinking is, and God would love to have every single member of the human race believe in Jesus Christ and live with him forever. This is also a great illustration of virtue love. God loved mankind, the whole world, with impersonal love for all. God loved the world so much. Not just, God didn't just love, Jerry Calhoun so much. He did. But God loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born son that whosoever believes in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. So, but now here I want you to catch this now. Sin nature. There are three trends of the sin nature. Personal sin, human good, evil. These are the three trends of the sin nature. Now, what was imputed to Christ on the cross? Sin. Sin was imputed to Christ on the cross. What is the policy of the ruler of this world? What's the policy? If Satan is the current ruler of this world, what's his policy? Human good and evil. What when Adam, Adam, and Isha were in the garden, they could eat of any tree that they wanted in the garden, but except one. And that one tree that they were was forbidden was the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. The day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, dying, you will die. You'll die spiritually immediately, spiritual death, and you will die physically. Good and evil was the one, that was the basis of spiritual death, the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then, that the ruler of planet Earth, Satan, has a policy. He has a plan, good and evil. And from that plan of Satan, he has a counterfeit gospel. What is the good news of the gospel? Salvation by grace. Christ does all the work. Christ does all the work. And all you do is place your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. So Satan, in his plan of human good and evil, has a counterfeit gospel, a false gospel. And what is it based on? Human good. Human good and parlayed into evil. So if you have a lot of human good, then you will be saved. No, you won't. No, you won't. And I have known several unbelievers that were, I would much rather spend time with those unbelievers than most Christians. Because they were unbelievers, all right, but they were good. They were nice. And everybody told them how good they were and how nice they were. But they did not place their faith in Jesus Christ. At least some of them did later on. So human good and evil brings up a false gospel, salvation by works. Salvation by your human good. And that's Satan's counterfeit to the grace of God, to Operation Grace. In Operation Grace, Jesus Christ does all the work. As Satan is the ruler of this world, why, his plan is human good and evil. So subpoint four. Retroactive positional truth also deals with what was not imputed to Christ on the cross. Namely, our human good and evil. So retroactive positional truth also deals with what was not imputed to Christ on the cross. Subpoint five. In the spiritual death of Christ, his salvation work on the cross, both human good and evil were rejected. Rejected. Being identified with Christ in his spiritual death, we have positionally rejected human good and evil. Intensification of human good will result in evil. Human good and evil is the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world. Human good is the basis for Satan's false gospel, salvation by works. Evil destroys the moral fiber of a people. Right now in this country, we are an evil nation. Our federal government is evil. Evil, evil to the core. Marxism is evil. Socialism is evil. Climate change is evil. And all of these are in the names of good. Good. And it's evil. We are a very, very evil country. The federal government is evil. Subpoint 6. While all personal sins were being judged in Christ on the cross, Christ was rejecting human good and evil as the solution to the problem between God and man. While all personal sins were being judged in Christ on the cross, Christ was rejecting human good and evil as the solution to the problem between God and man. Hello, Houston, we have a problem. And the problem is that we are all sinners and we need a Savior. So Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the penalty for the world's sins. He solved the world's problem of sin by his work on the cross. And then he rejected human good and evil as a solution to the problem between God and man. Human good and evil is not the solution between God and man. Jesus Christ went to the cross to solve the world's problem of sin. The sins of the world were imputed to him and judged in him. And now, through simple faith in Christ, you have the gift of eternal life. So this is very important to understand. And fundamentalism and the Baptists and all these, they go on and on and on about sin, and yet many times they're totally involved in human good and evil. They haven't got a clue. So here, in most Christians, they don't have a problem. Yeah, I know, that's a sin. Brother, drunkenness, wind up in the lake of fire if you stay, keep doing that. Fornication, oh boy, that's really a bad one. We have no problem with sin. And Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin. Faith in Christ, you have eternal life. After you believe in Christ, you're going to sin. We have a problem solving device, rebound. You acknowledge sins. You're forgiven and cleansed, restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, your spiritual life. Right. But you know what? Fundamentalism is all involved in human good and evil. And they don't even understand that. They don't understand the policy of the ruler of this world, human good and evil. And so fundamentalism is totally neutralized by Satan's policy. So this is very, very important. This isn't emphasized or taught in most fundamental churches. And it's a major, major issue. While all personal sins were being judged in Christ on the cross, Christ was rejecting human good and evil. As what? As the solution to the problem between God and man. 7. Human good and evil have a dual function. Human good and evil have a dual function. They are both the policy of Satan and the function of the sin nature which rules our life. Two of the trends of the sin nature. The sin nature has three trends: sin, human good, and evil. So human good and evil have a dual function. They are both the policy of Satan, the ruler of planet Earth, and They are two of the trends of the sin nature which rules our life. 8. Through retroactive positional truth, the believer is separated from good and evil positionally. Through retroactive positional truth, the believer is separated from good and evil positionally, so that the rulership of Satan and the sovereignty of the sin nature are broken positionally. Through retroactive positional truth, the believer is separated from good and evil positionally, so that the rulership of Satan and the sovereignty of the sin nature are broken positionally. Nine. Therefore, retroactive positional truth combined with current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of the Father, is the basis for canceling the sovereignty of the sin nature ruling human life by means of spiritual death. Therefore, retroactive positional truth combined with current positional truth is the basis for canceling the sovereignty of the sin nature ruling human life by means of spiritual death. Subpoint 10. At the same time, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the mechanics of retroactive positional truth and current positional truth, establishes the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of the believer. At the same time, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the mechanics of retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, and current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session, establishes the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of the church age believer. When we get to Romans 7, we have a new husband. As an unbeliever, in the analogy in Romans 7, you're the unbeliever is the wife, and the sin nature is the husband, and the marriage counselor is the Mosaic law. But at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, now you're a believer, now the wife is the believer, the husband in the second marriage is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 7. So we're in Romans 6 right now, which is setting us all up for it with the baptism of the Spirit. And then Romans 7 is illustrated, and some of you will be interested in this, with marriage. Going to be illustrating it with marriage. Now, marriage is the great divine institution. Who invented it? Jesus Christ. Who's the expert on marriage? Jesus Christ. And marriage, as the Lord Jesus Christ created it, can be absolutely amazing, phenomenal. However, when you have today... Most marriages are flops. Most marriages are flops. They're not great. They're not fantastic. They're not the way that the Lord Jesus Christ created it. So we're gonna have an illustration to illustrate what was taught in Romans 6 is going to be illustrated in Romans 7 with in marriage. And divorce, marriage and divorce. And all of us, as unbelievers, we're married to the sin nature. And then we believe in Christ and we're divorced. Divorced from the sin nature. And now we're married to a new husband, Jesus Christ. Wahoo! And we have a new marriage counselor, God the Holy Spirit. Well, all of that's coming up. That's where I am. I'm in Romans 7. And you're right now in Romans 6, previews of coming attractions. Point two. So point one was definition and description. Now point two. Retroactive positional truth is part of the believer's completeness in Christ. Part of the believer's completeness in Christ. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2, let's start at verse 9. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Jesus Christ is deity. He will always be the eternal Son of God. He will always have the same attributes of deity that the Father has, the Spirit has. The fullness of deity, all the attributes of the triune God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in hypostatic union now through the incarnation and virgin birth. That eternal Son of God took on true humanity, but that did not in any way eliminate the fact that he is the eternal Son of God. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. So now you got a hypostatic union, undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. And in him, you have been made complete. This is in him, current positional truth, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have been made complete. And he is the head over all, and you have the word rule there, at least in my one I'm reading. And that is the Greek word arche. Arche, and arche can be also translated prince. These are angelic rulers, angelic princes, arche. And then, and the next word is exousia. E-K-S-O-U-S-I-A, exousia, and this is angelic authority. So we have, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all angelic princes, angelic rulers, all arche and all exousia, all angelic authority. Verse 11, and in him, a union with Jesus Christ, current positional truth, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism. Retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, God the Father, who raised him, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father is one of the agents in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Current positional truth. So, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Great passage. All right. A couple of things. One, subpoint one, the believer's completeness in Christ has broken the power of Satan and the sin nature. You no longer have to be a slave to Satan as the ruler of this world. You no longer have to be a slave to the old sin nature as the ruler of human life. The believer's completeness in Christ has broken the power of Satan and the sin nature. Two, Subpoint two, the believer is positionally separated from good and evil through retroactive positional truth. The believer is positionally separated from good and evil through retroactive positional truth. Subpoint three, retroactive positional truth is also rejection of good and evil as a function and trend of the sin nature. Retroactive positional truth is also rejection of good and evil as a function, as the function and trend of the sin nature. Subpoint four, through current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session, now at the right hand of God the Father, now the believer is positionally higher than angels. And church is full of angels right now. You all have your guardian angel here. And this church is full of angels. And you are positionally higher than angels. And the elect angel just can't believe that. They're still looking. They're looking at you and going, "Are you kidding me? They're higher than we are." Dude, brother, they can't do anything. This one guy is up there behind the pulpit. He talks about running hurdles. He can't even walk. And here we go. We can go to the third heaven and back, and third heaven and back, and they are higher than we are. I still have something to learn here. But we're in union with Christ. And in union with Christ, we are positionally higher than the angel. So through current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of the Father, the believer is positionally higher than angels. Now, when we get our resurrection body, we are higher than angels completely. So you are perfect positionally. Now, that's our position. Now, how about our experience? The objective of living the spiritual life, living in newness of life, is to have our experience line up with our position in Christ. So again, point two, retroactive positional truth is part of the believer's completeness in Christ. Now point three, the believer's mental attitude is related to retroactive positional truth. The believer's mental attitude is related to retroactive positional truth. Turn over to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, let's start at verse 1. Colossians 3, 1. If then you have been raised up with Christ, current positional truth, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your thinking on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So, what are we to concentrate on? You are to concentrate on your perfect position in union with Jesus Christ. Retroactive positional truth and current positional truth is designed to make you think divine viewpoint. The objective is to think divine viewpoint. Think truth. Think the Word of God. Think objectively. Verse 2, set your mind, set your thinking on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Point 4. Retroactive positional truth breaks the power of the sin nature as the ruler of human life. Retroactive positional truth breaks the power of the sin nature as the ruler of human life. And that's our paragraph that we are in, Romans chapter 6. We're only exegeted 3 verses. I'm going to give you the preview of the coming attraction. Let's go back and look at Romans 6, start at verse 1. Through verse 5, therefore, what are we to say or to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Meganoita, emphatically not. We who have died to the sin nature, baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, how can we live in it or by the power of the sin nature any longer? Verse 3. Or are you ignorant? Yes, many believers are. Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, baptism of the Spirit, have been baptized into His death, retroactive positional truth? Verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried together with Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death, retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that just as Christ was raised out from the dead ones, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of the glory of the glory of the Father is the omnipotence of God the Father, so also we, royal family of God, might live in newness of life. The unique spiritual life of the church age. Verse 5. For if we have become intimately united with Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the likeness of His death, first class condition, and we have through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, certainly we shall also be intimately united with Him in the likeness of His resurrection through the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth. See, this is a great chapter. This is the great chapter on the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive current positional truth. So, point 4, retroactive positional truth breaks the power of the sin nature as the ruler of human life. That's our paragraph, Romans 6, 1 through 5. All right? We'll pick it up here next Sunday. We'll take a break. After the break, the Lord's table.